from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
It feels like a day we might just toss the rundown out the window.
Okay, let's burn it.
Like, that's not entirely true. We have plenty to get to. The 49ers have maybe the weirdest game I can remember them playing in quite some time coming up on Sunday. Neither team really playing for anything, but I still think there's plenty to watch for the 49ers. And frankly, I think the Rams might be doing it wrong with the way they are going about resting their starters. We will dive into that. The Golden State Warriors, that we mentioned yesterday that the Lakers are in shambles. The Golden State Warriors might be in even greater shambles than that after Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets overcame a 16-point deficit with 6:51 to go. They closed the game on a 25-4 run to win that game 130-127. A 25-4 run in half a quarter is nuts. Nikola Jokic banks in a 39-foot runner at the buzzer because, of course, he does. It feels like he's going to win the MVP again. But we will talk about that because, man, it is not great out there in San Francisco. The Kings face the Raptors tonight.
Yes.
We've got that coming for you. But the reason I say that we might just toss the rundown out the window is because, James, I've got the trade machine fired up. I might just start just throwing trades at you during the show.
Let's just get stupid.
Probably a little bit stupid. I'm going to say not stupid because I'm not going to be like, yeah, hey, what can the Kings give up for Steph Curry? Like, we're not doing that.
Okay.
But there's some that will still maybe come across as stupid to some people, but I mean these earnestly.
Okay.
So I'm going to really try. You might see me looking up at the computer, messing with some stuff, but I'm just moving some stuff around.
Okay.
Jonathan Kuminga apparently wants out of Golden State. That report came down from The Athletic this morning.
Oh, yeah, he's not happy.
Hard to blame him.
He's not happy.
He's playing really well last night, and he comes out after 19 minutes and doesn't get to close the game and doesn't enter after, I think he exited with like 8 minutes left in the third.
Yeah.
And then didn't come back in the game, even as Aaron Gordon was cooking the Warriors in the fourth quarter. No Jonathan Kuminga sighting. And, I mean, frankly, the way Golden State is handling their young players, I think is going to lend some teams to call and be like, hey, are you just going to give that guy away?
Yeah.
And if you're the Kings, why are you not picking up the phone?
We can discuss that.
Going, hey, dude, you wouldn't take...
I would at least entertain the idea, but it would be with the...
I'm deleting my first one. I'm going to try a different one.
It would be with understanding very clearly of... Like, hey, just because you don't like your role in Golden State doesn't mean your role is going to be different in Sacramento.
Okay. Jonathan Kuminga for Davion Mitchell straight across. Who says no?
Well, the Warriors say no, but it's still the Kings, sure. Okay, in that scenario where you're like, okay, we'll gamble. we might as well jump in on this. But the problem that you have if you're the Kings is problem what I think Steve Kerr probably thinks he has with the Warriors. I just don't think it is what the problem he has with the Warriors. Like, there's a good chance that you're a better basketball team. I'm not saying who's a better player, who can score more points, but you're a better basketball team with Trey Lyles on the court than Jonathan Kuminga. That's just the nature of the NBA and of basketball. Players who fit, players who know a role, are worth way more than players who think that they're still, they still believe that they're the next Tracy McGrady or the next Michael Jordan. Like, I had someone tell me earlier this season when the Kings were playing the Warriors that the day that Jonathan Kuminga is as good as he thinks he is, he'll be an all-star.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because he's not.
He definitely thinks very highly of himself.
Yes.
And I don't think he'll ever be an all-star. I would be pretty surprised if Jonathan Kuminga... Check that. I would be floored if he ever made an all-star team.
Yeah.
Like, that's just hard to do. And we have a big enough sample size that you have to... Like, if you're going to be an all-star in the league, you are checking boxes early on in your career. And I think that's part of the reason he wants out of Golden State is because he's not gotten an opportunity to play 30 minutes a night and grow and figure himself out as a player.
Yeah, and, you know, they're caught in yesteryear.
1,000%.
You know, they're clinging desperately to what was.
Yeah.
And that's okay because they were great. They were. And it's hard. You know, we saw this incredible moment where Klay Thompson, you know, sat in front of media and said he had just talked to Steve Kerr.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Kerr, like, opened his eyes and told him that he was not being the mentor or the leader or the person that he should be at this stage in his career and that he's missing the boat, that he's no longer the Klay Thompson that he was, and he needs to enjoy the handoff.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy what's next, and he's not doing that.
Yeah.
And he's not taking... And maybe that's why Moses Moody hasn't developed.
And I think that's part... I think that's partly Steve Kerr's fault, though, is the young players aren't getting a chance. The older players aren't getting a chance to do that handoff.
Yeah.
Because they're not trusting Jonathan Kuminga to regularly close games. They're not trusting Brandon Pajemski to regularly close games, or Trayce Jackson-Davis, or Moses Moody to play at all.
Yeah.
They are stuck in this space between, like you said, they're stuck in yesteryear. And Steve Kerr said as much earlier this year. He said, we won a title with this group less than 2 years ago. Like, does he not understand that's a problem?
Yeah.
Less than 2 years ago, Jordan Poole was also helping you win a title. And now he's in Washington being bad at basketball. So how are we ready to deal Jordan Poole but having to still cling to this because of 2022? You know what, am I making sense there?
Yeah, because, you know, like, I would think this summer when Klay Thompson's a free agent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's going to be this thing where he wants X amount of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And when you slide the piece of paper across the desk with your offer, it's like maybe a 3-year, $45 million contract.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a $45 million a year, 3- or 4-year deal.
And I understand, right. And I understand if you're the Warriors, or if you're a Warriors fan, you're like, no, that's our guy.
Yeah.
Like, Klay Thompson's our guy. Pay him whatever to keep him around. And if that's, and this is my frustration. If that's what you are going to do, then commit to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then just be like, yeah, hey, we're the team that's just going to be the old guys who are going to go fight for the number 10 seed with their old players, and that's what it is. But they think they're contending for a title, and they're not, dude. This is not even a play-in team right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so if you're a team around the league and you're going, hey, if you're committing to the old guys, can we get some of the players who you're not playing?
Yeah.
Because they won't commit to it. They haven't done it at all, and it was justified in 2016, 2017, 2018. But you have Klay is, look, I understand, and people who are not Warriors fans will defend Klay and be like, well, Klay did a lot, and I understand that. Klay's washed. Watch the game. Watch him play. Watch when Draymond Green is allowed to play. Watch him play. It's not the same.
Oh, no. They can beat anybody on any given night.
Right.
What they can't do
is
beat...
They just beat Boston.
They cannot beat 50 win 50 games. They can't.
No, not even
I don't
close,
think.
Dude.
I mean, like, that's... And what you're saying, they're basically like Thelma and Louising this thing. They're just like all riding in the car and like, hey, let's just jump into the Grand Canyon. Like, together. We'll do this together. It's like, all right. And some of these young guys are like, hey,
I don't want to be in the car.
When we stop for snacks, I'm going to jump out.
Yeah.
I ain't going to go off the cliff with you guys. I'm not one of you. You have made that clear. I'm not one of you.
Yeah.
You guys go ahead and do that, but I don't want to be here anymore. So, I get it. It's tough, but...
So I think they have two options. I think they have the option to either trade their young players to bring in vets to see if they can build a veteran team that can fight for a play-in spot.
Mm-hmm.
Or they trade veterans. They trade Andrew Wiggins. They trade Klay Thompson, which sounds blasphemous, but like... If you can trade his $43 million expiring contract,
yeah,
then great. But maybe you trade Chris Paul. Maybe like, but given everything they've done to this point, it looks like they would be more likely to unload young players in return for proven veterans that they think can help this year, rather than punting on this year in the name of, and I say punting. They can't be worse.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to be significantly worse than Kevon Looney or Dario Saric.
No, I agree with you there.
That's not to say, like, Kevon Looney's been a fine player in his career, and he was really good, obviously, last year in the playoffs against Sacramento. But watch him this year. He's a shell of himself, man.
Yeah.
And they just, they are a mess, dude. They're a complete mess. I have a trade for you.
Oh, I'm in.
That I want to throw at you before we hit the break.
Okay.
I am sending to the Kings, and I'm only doing players here. I'll get the other one loaded up so I can mess with picks. I'm just doing the ESPN trade machine, so would be picks involved in this in some way.
Okay.
I can send Andrew Wiggins to the Kings.
Hmm.
In exchange for Harrison Barnes and Davion Mitchell.
I'd consider it because I believe he's a better defender, and there are times where he's a better overall offensive player, but it's the same exact thing. You're talking about a passive player.
It's a little bit redundant.
Yes.
But we've also very recently watched Andrew Wiggins be the second best player on a title team.
I would probably, if I'm the Kings, turn that trade down.
Okay, how come?
Number one, Wiggins is playing horrible.
He's really bad this year. That's a good note.
Yeah.
He is very bad. He has been benched.
Yeah, well, he's been bad. I mean, realistically, his numbers, Harrison Barnes' numbers, numbers, even in a bad year, are still worse. But I don't want to take on $26 million next year, $28 million the year after that, and $30 million the year after that.
Yeah.
I think that's why... I would rather watch Harrison Barnes age gracefully than pay $30 million in 2026-27 for Andrew Wiggins that I don't think will age gracefully.
Right, for a then 30-plus-year-old Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I dig that.
I might be wrong. I mean, who is a better player today? I think Wiggins is a better overall player.
Wiggins has a higher ceiling. I think night in and night out, I think you know more what you're going to get from Barnes. But I think Wiggins has a higher ceiling.
Okay.
But I think now that you 30, laid it out like that.
38-39% three-point shooter in Harrison Barnes versus a 30% shooter this year.
He's not been playing well.
No, he's not playing well.
Okay, that's fair. If I'm the Kings, I'm also rejecting that.
Now, Mike Brown.
I'll have another one for you.
Just so you know, Mike Brown, like, he was there for Wiggins' best years.
Right.
He helped get a lot out of Wiggins.
The money thing matters a lot, though.
It does. It does. It matters in roster stability and roster creation and everything else. And I'm not going all in on a big five that includes Wiggins.
No. That's okay.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who, you know, between this year and his, the final year of his deal is between like 24 and 20, I mean, and $30 million. That's a lot of money to spend.
It's going to be really hard to get Moses Moody to the Kings, guys.
No, you could trade Davion straight up for Moses Moody.
You cannot.
Why?
Not according to the ESPN trade machine.
Oh, I don't know that I agree with that. Because of the financials, because Davion's a ninth pick and he
says the Warriors
pick.
Are over the luxury tax threshold with this trade, and incoming aggregate salaries exceeded what's allowed via the 125% plus 100,000 rule.
So they'd have to throw in another player, the Warriors would.
Cut $753,000 from the Warriors' incoming trade value.
And they don't have a league minimum guy that they can throw in on that deal? I haven't looked at the Warriors' salary. Oh, I mean, the Warriors.
Guy Santos, there you go. The Kings also get Guy Santos.
There it is. There it is, everybody.
Oh, we have to go. Hey, more trades coming up. Plenty of Niner talk coming up. I'm telling you, weird 49er game this weekend. You're going, hey, it doesn't matter, but I've got some reasons to watch for you. And the Kings have a tough game against the Raptors. We've got all of that coming up on the Insiders. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We love Jiffy Lube. On ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kings hosting the Raptors tonight. You know, we're doing all this trade machine stuff. The Warriors are in shambles, so we're trying to figure out which, if there's any productive players that the Kings could go pick off the Warriors to try and help out their roster. Hey, you know, if I'm Monty McNair, I am 100% calling about Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Yeah, but they're not going to trade Trayce.
Probably not, but I'm seeing what's happening.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm 100%. calling about it.
Yeah, he's basically free for the next 4 years. There's no way you're trading him. Like,
right.
He's a league minimum deal. He was
totally.
A 55th pick or
right.
Whatever he was.
And he's actually playing. Like, he has a role for them, but I'm still calling.
No, I get that.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I would listen for sure. And, like, look, they're a major luxury tax team, right?
Yes.
So, I haven't looked at the trade machine on this, but... What if you didn't throw in a cheap player? What if you actually helped them a little bit? And what if the King? I know Kings fans are gonna like scream at me for this, but
oh, do it, do it, do it!
What if you did what we were talking? I mean, again, we're just trade machining. Hanging out here.
We are. I was gonna say this is James and I having this discussion before the show and being like, we need to flesh this out more. We're literally just doing this on the fly.
Yeah,
this is not like hard prepared. Here's my hard take on the Kings should acquire this guy.
Seven. It's just trades the Kings should do between now and February 8th.
We're throwing stuff into the trade machine, and if it works, we're discussing it. What were you gonna say?
Okay, you have the trade machine up. Davion Mitchell.
Where's Davion? Okay, Davion.
Okay, for Moses Moody and the ghost of Corey Joseph.
Oh no. If John Bull's listening, he's going to jump through the screen.
Bring back Kojo.
Okay, so that obviously works salary-wise.
That deal works.
Almost on the dot.
Yeah, yeah. So that's more likely where I could see. And hey, look, that frees you up to do something else. Like, and worst case scenario, you have a very, very good human being in the building who is a veteran who has no problem being a mentor. Will never cause a single problem at all. Corey Joseph is salt of the earth. He's one of my favorite dudes. When I see Corey still, it's nothing but love. He is a very, very good human being. I put him in Garrett Temple range. Garrett Temple tonight.
Oh, God, Garrett Temple's on the Raptors. I was so happy to see that.
Yeah.
I want Garrett Temple to play until he's 50. He's a big Garrett Temple guy.
I do too.
916-909-1320. That's right. 916-909-1320. We're messing around on the trade machine. If you have a trade idea, fire it off. We'll put it in the trade machine. See if it works. And then we'll discuss it. But no, we've got Kings Raptors. We've got some Niner stuff. We've got TC on the line now. TC, what's going on, bro?
What's up with my two guys? Kyle Hammer.
What you got for us?
What's going on?
Hey, check it out. So look, hey, I'm kind of in. I know it's like a trade. You probably was joking, but I'm kind of serious on that, Ham. Like as far as like the Harrison Barnes and what was that, Kyle? You said Harrison for Wiggins. What was that trade?
Yeah, it was Harrison Barnes and Davion for Wiggins.
I'm doing that trade because I know Mike brought the best out of Wiggins, and I think that's why Wiggins. I know he has some off the court issues, but that was all Mike Brown bringing out the best in Wiggins, making him a two-way player, bringing the best. And I know that if we can get Wiggins over here, I know he can bring Wiggins back to that championship mentality he was at, bro. So I think that would be a steal for us. I know we love Davion, but, like, sending HB back over there and Davion for Wiggs, I know Mike would know what to do with Wiggins. So I think that would be perfect, and we can bump Keegan up to the floor and then just move on from there.
Awesome. Thanks, TC. So that's just real quick, just, and I know you mentioned the money stuff on that trade.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. But to TC's point, if you come from the future, you're James Hamm from the future.
Yep.
And you say, hey, if the Kings trade for Andrew Wiggins, they are getting the version of Andrew Wiggins that played in the 21-22 playoffs.
Okay.
Then I'm doing it.
Well,
because
sure.
That was a really good player. But to the point you made earlier, you can't. That was a like 3 week stretch of basketball.
Well, I'm also going to point out that 3 week stretch of basketball was played alongside Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond. Like every single time you see a player have moments like that, mm-hmm. you have to wonder how much of it is situational. And for me, a lot of what Wiggins was able to accomplish is situational. And I want to clear something up too. Wiggins had off the court stuff. It's not.
Like
off
family
the court
related
problems.
Stuff.
He had yeah. a family emergency type situation. Yes. So, like, this is not like Wiggins is some nefarious dude who
right.
who has
not,
like weird
out committing
off the
crimes.
Court stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
he had a family.
Yeah, he had. Thing. I think someone in his family was ill,
very ill,
very ill. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and that's tough. And like, players are human beings. I've covered a lot of weird things. Mm-hmm. In my time, you know, covering the team and covering the Kings and, you know, players that leave because they have custody battle issues, mm-hmm. players that leave because, you know, who miss games, who, you know, I like George Hill, for as bad as George Hill was with the Sacramento Kings, George Hill had like 3 deaths in the family in the first like 8 weeks of the season, like aunts and uncles, grandparents, that kind of stuff, like really, really rough go. And so, like, look, people are human, and what happens on the court, it is impacted. So I just want to make sure we clarify. I don't have any, like, Andrew Wiggins is an upstanding, you know, citizen in the NBA from everything I know.
Yes, teammates love him.
Yeah. He's a good dude, but does he have that dog in him? Does he have that I mean, realistically, I don't think there's a more, like, standard player comp than Harrison Barnes and Andrew Wiggins. They're very similar.
So that's something that I think is really important, and one of the things with Wiggins specifically, and why, if I'm the Kings, I'm probably not trying to swing a trade, because like on paper, Andrew Wiggins is a great athlete, a switchable defender.
Yes,
when he is motivated to, he is a kick-ass rebounder. Like he's all these things, but that's on paper.
Yeah,
go watch, night in and night out, and you're going to be very unimpressed.
Yeah, and I would even say the other thing with Wiggins, too, is like the disappearing act that he does.
Yeah.
It feels different than the disappearing act that we see from Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, because you're expecting more from him.
Yeah, exactly. And but when he's good, like there have been plenty of times the Kings have played against Andrew Wiggins where they had no answer for him mm-hmm. because he's a long, athletic dude who just caused problems.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he does need a change of scenery. Everybody, like at some point in their career, most players need a change of scenery, but I don't know.
We just have a much larger sample size of Andrew Wiggins being a fine player.
Yeah, like being meh.
Yeah. I just, to the point you made earlier, I don't know how much of an upgrade that is for the Kings over Harrison Barnes.
Well, that, and the other thing too is like when we talk about Harrison Barnes, and like Harrison Barnes loves the game. He loves being part of the team. Mm-hmm. He loves being in the community and doing all. He's part of the Players Association, like executive council. Like he is a basketball junkie, and I expect Harrison Barnes, even though we call him Senator Barnes, to be more of like a front office personnel guy mm-hmm. and maybe a GM and all that stuff in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe he goes into politics, maybe he doesn't. I don't know that there is the love of the game with Andrew Wiggins.
Sure.
Like he's Maple Leaf Jordan.
Maple Jordan.
And then, but after that, like, I don't know that the love of the game is there with him.
Sure. Yeah. And it you never know, right? Maybe he goes home and he watches games on League Pass.
Yeah.
And he just, but by the way he carries himself and the way he plays night in and night out, it doesn't really show that way.
Yeah. I mean, like, people could always like, how much does De'Aaron Fox love the game? De'Aaron Fox loves the game so much
yeah.
that he literally found like a basketball junkie wife.
Yes.
Like that's how much he yeah. loves the game. He eats, drinks, and sleeps the game yes. of basketball. Does yes. he play Call of Duty or whatever off the court? Sure. But De'Aaron Fox is in.
I'm old enough to remember when that was a talking point on the radio, by the way. Does De'Aaron Fox play too many video games?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing that happened.
No, I'm never going to have it. Like, players need their vices.
Dude, 1,000%.
I don't care that Marvin Bagley raps at all. Like,
totally.
Like,
totally.
I'm not listening to it because it's not my style
sure.
Of music.
But that's not why he struggles on the basketball
it's
court.
It's not why he struggles yeah. on the basketball right. court at all. Yeah. Like, every player needs that.
On the Andrew Wiggins nickname thing, real quick. Are you familiar with Tim Hortons?
Yes, of course.
The coffee chain?
Yep.
I saw someone call him Tim Hortonway.
Oh.
And that just really... That's strong.
Okay. And I want to throw one last thing before we go to break.
Corey Is it Joseph, Andrew Wiggins' nickname?
No, Corey Joseph. Like, there are a lot of things that Corey Joseph... You can dislike about Corey Joseph as a basketball player. Very slow pace. Like, But Corey Joseph had a player... a streak of games played. The pride he took in that... tells you everything you need to know about who he is as a player.
Yeah.
It did not matter how injured he was going to play because that's what you do. You suit up and you show up every day and you help your team.
I'm going to punt the Warriors out of the trade machine right now and I'm bringing in the Raptors because the Kings bring in the Raptors tonight. We'll talk about that next on ESPN 1320. He's James M. Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're the Insiders.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
We're having a lot of fun today.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say we've punted the rundown entirely, but most of this has just been off the cuff. Like, you and I just were sitting here talking before the show, and it was like, yeah, we're just going to carry this over, so.
Yeah.
Just messing around on the trade machine. We punted the Warriors out of the trade machine. We brought in the Toronto Raptors as we bring you back in. The Kings are hosting the Raptors tonight, which is why the Raptors are now in the trade machine alongside Sacramento. Two things really quick before we get back to the sportsy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have two things. One, I don't know if there's anything more overrated than going viral on the internet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'm
like,
with you.
You do a good tweet or I guess for you who's a more serious person, you you report something that goes viral and you know it gets picked up by Shams or whoever and it just your mentions start to just run.
Yeah.
And every time you try and sift through it, it's just X amount of people retweeted this and da 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 da. And it's just incessant. It's just brutal. And it's like, for me, when I make a joke, it's like, man, I hope a lot of people like this joke. I hope a lot of people think this is funny. And then once it happens, it's like, okay, that's enough. I don't like this anymore.
Oh.
It's really annoying.
You've got to that point.
It's so overrated.
Yeah.
It's very, very overrated.
I've always enjoyed like having viral videos, like anytime you have. So like the meme of Mike Brown, like going, ah, you know, yelling.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That was my video.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Yeah. And so we were in that huddle and I saw right away, I'm like, oh, that's a viral moment. I stepped out of the huddle and clipped like a 12-second video of Mike Brown. And yeah, that I think it did like 900,000 or a million views.
Jesus.
Something like that.
Golly. The second thing, I'm not going to name names, and I doubt they're listening, but you noted today, Donut Friday, brought in donuts for the office.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, by the way. It's delicious. But you noted that somebody in this building grabbed a donut and threw it in the microwave?
Microwave their donut.
I have never seen such a thing.
I have never seen anything like that.
What an odd thing to do.
I think, you know what though, like, I will say if you go to a Krispy Kreme, right, there's nothing better than one that's just come off the rack.
Yeah, no doubt.
Where it's still warm.
But that's way different than nuking it.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm confused because like all the good stuff just runs off the top. Like,
yeah, I don't, now just, did you notice what type of donut this person grabbed?
No, it was very quick. It was probably a glaze, but again, like the glaze is just going to melt right
now,
off the top.
Okay, I have one more question for you before I decide how weird this is. It's already a little weird, but was it like a 5-second microwave job?
Oh, no.
Or was it like a full-blown like 30-second?
Yeah, it seemed more like a 30-second variety.
That's crazy.
And then it was on a plate, and I think there was a fork involved. Like this thing got out of control.
Stop.
It got out of control. I don't know.
Stop.
We're big on Donut Friday.
There was a fork?
I believe there's a fork involved.
That person
that walked away with
ate a forking donut?
They forked a donut.
What the fork?
We've lost our minds.
I'm going to go talk to this person later and figure out exactly what's happening. Because I'll make cinnamon rolls at home. Especially like on, I didn't do it this year, but I love a cinnamon roll on Christmas morning.
Okay.
Just throw them in the oven when you wake up, you're doing stuff, all of a sudden oven beeps and it's like, yeah, hey, presents are open and now we got cinnamon rolls. Next day cinnamon roll, you're tossing out the microwave, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Warm
just
it up a little.
Loosen it up a little bit.
Go to a coffee shop down the street, get a little pastry, get to the office, 10 seconds, warm it up. A donut though?
Yeah.
Like, see, bro, I've never, I'm with you on the Krispy Kreme aspect of this.
Okay.
I've never been eating a donut and been like, man, I wish this was a little warmer.
I am a cold pizza guy.
Sure. Same.
Yeah. My wife's like, hey, do you want to warm that up? And I'm like, we've been married a long time. You know, I don't warm up my pizza. Once it's cold, it's cold. Like you pull cold pizza out of the fridge, I'm in. You know, a Ziploc bag filled with cold pizza? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in.
It was not Kim, by the way, at Chatty House. Kim is not in the building.
No, Kim isn't here. she hasn't been here this week. I think she's got a week off.
I don't. Nope. Not saying it.
Okay.
I'm not saying it.
All right.
I don't need my donut heated up.
That's right. This thing has gone sideways all day.
We're good.
I love it. Let's get to this.
Everything's fine. We're bringing it back.
Your Toronto Raptors, Sacramento Kings. What are we doing here, Kyle?
All right. The only way this works for Pascal Siakam to become a Sacramento King. And, two things. I'm going to say the only way this works. And then I want to get an update from you on where we're at in the whole Pascal Siakam thing. So the only way this works with the salaries, because his $37.8 million salary, almost $37.9 million dollar salary, makes this a little bit complicated, but it's Barnes, Herter, Davion Mitchell, salaries match up, signed, sealed, delivered, and there will be picks involved.
Yeah, there's going to be picks
Big time
involved.
Picks involved.
Right. Yeah.
But I know that for you, after Keegan Murray had that really good stretch of games where he had the 47 points, but there were a couple games before that and a couple games after he was playing well, you had said, man, if he's going to shoot it like this and score it like this, it changes the calculus of what you need.
Yes.
And there was the Pascal Siakam OG Anunoby discussion, and he went, dude, if Keegan's going to score like this, now it's OG Anunoby that I'd rather have than Pascal Siakam. Well, now OG's off the table. He's in New York. Pascal Siakam now on the table. Are you still in on the Pascal Siakam idea?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Okay. So, and first of all, like, it's being reported multiple places this morning that he will be traded before the deadline.
I would be flabbergasted if he's not.
Well, and the only reason that he wouldn't be is if the Raptors, who are on a crazy West Coast road trip, right? I think they play in Sacramento. They still have a game in Golden State. They have two games in L.A. If they survive this road trip and go like 6-1 or something, or they go, I don't know how big the road trip is. It's either six. It's between 6 and 8 games. I haven't looked counted the numbers, but. If they somehow survive this and all of a sudden they've got something, then I don't think that they might consider keeping Pascal Siakam. But as of right now, they had an opportunity to sign him to an extension. There was supposed to be this mystical date of like December 30th or December 31st that if he did not get an extension by then, he would not negotiate with them again. And we've passed that. And so most people believe, most NBA voices out there, my sources as well, believe that he will be traded before the deadline. Now, you say the only way that it works is if it's Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter and Davion Mitchell.
Not like, the only way, but those are the big numbers.
Yeah, those are the easier way to get it to work. That doesn't mean that all three of those players go to Toronto. I think that's something that people need to like key in. First of all, the Kings can get a third or a fourth team involved, and these pieces can go different places. It's more complex, but there are ways to, when you add a third and a fourth team, now you start dealing with other teams that have other motivations. When it's two teams and you only have two teams with two motivations, that's one thing, right? So if you're the Toronto Raptors, you already showed you were interested in a 23-year-old RJ Barrett and a 24-year-old Emmanuel quickly, right? And you want to put those guys with Scotty Barnes. So maybe that's what they're looking for. So now what you have to do is go out and find a team that's a really good team, but has a couple of young players that maybe not work for them, and move Harrison Barnes to one of those teams or Kevin Herter to one of those teams. Kevin Herter, 25 years old, he fits that player arc, but then move players from that team to Toronto. So now we have to look, mix and match teams that have similar motivations, and maybe a team would be willing to take on something and give up something, especially if they're getting a draft pick to get involved into a three-team deal. But it's all complex, and I feel bad because I don't really like just throwing players' names out there. Let's trade this guy. Let's trade this guy. Let's trade this guy. It's the reality, though, of the Sacramento Kings situation. Yeah. You see, they're on the cusp of being really, really, really good, and they need a something to put them over the top. And well, like, there are different levels of players in the NBA that, and the Kings might need a different level of player.
Well, and let's be real about this. The Kings have three untouchable guys.
Yeah.
That's it. And that is not to say like, yeah, hey, I am pounding the table and they should go trade. They should trade Malik Monk. Like, that's not what I'm saying.
No.
They should go trade whoever. This is a exercise in going, does this trade work? Does it help the Kings?
Yes.
That is the bottom line here. This is not, yeah, hey, let's trade Kevin Herter because he's a bad guy. Like, no. Everything I know, everything you've told me, everything, hey, Kevin Herter's a great guy. Yeah. But it is, can you make the Kings better? That is the goal here.
Yeah, the goal is right now you're 20-13. The goal is to win 55 games-ish. And win a first round playoff series and maybe a second round playoff series. And next thing you know, who knows?
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Right? This year, it's the goal. If they want to talk championship, you have to be realistic about the players on your roster. And you have to, I mean, again, like, there's no surprise here. Kevin Herter has lost his starting job at least for the last two games. We don't know what that means for him. So, yeah, the Kings, like, they're going to be active. This is who they are. And so for us to be active and look at these things, okay. I just want to make sure, like, I'm not just willy-nilly throwing just trading guys to trade guys.
That's my job.
Yeah, that you can do that if you want. But like I have a, you know, like I know how bad trade deadline can be for players.
Oh, God, it's got to be awful.
Yeah, yeah. Like Marcus Thornton was the guy that like it stood out. Like I think like Marcus Thornton could not play at all in the like 3 weeks leading up to the trade deadline. Like he couldn't hit a shot. The day the trade deadline passes, he drops like 33.
Gotta
like the way that this stresses players out is crazy because like look, it's their life. They have an apartment, they have a dog, they have a girlfriend, they whatever it might be, they have a wife and a child that's going to a specific school. The trade deadline is brutal. It could mean that you're gonna have to leave your family and see them sporadically for the next 3 months.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, just imagine your job relocating you.
Yeah.
Like if Stacy and Aaron walked in right now and said, "Hey, Kyle, James, you guys are doing great. We're going to move you to our station in
Wisconsin.
In Milwaukee. Milwaukee's firing up the sports station and you guys are going there." Like what?
No.
Like that would That's
But in the NBA, you're contractually obligated to show up within 72 hours.
Right. Yeah.
72 hours.
Yeah, that's the big difference. We can say no.
Yeah. Now, when someone gets traded to Sacramento, people should know. They put them up in the Sawyer for 3 months until the end of the season.
Right. That's not, again, this is not, it's not a hardship. Like, this is not, but on a, from a, like, from a lifestyle level.
Yeah.
Like, you're okay. You're playing professional basketball. You're getting paid a bunch of money to do it. You're traveling in great conditions, you're living in great conditions, like everything's, but you're probably not, like you said, you're probably not with your family.
Yeah.
You've just left your teammates, who you're probably friends with a lot of them now, and now you're, and then you're trying to adjust to a new team where you're just, it's like, hey.
And hey, look, they're people.
You maybe know some of the guys, but you haven't played with them. Like,
yeah, you could be like 3 months into like starting to see a girl that it might start to get serious, and you, mm-hmm. like, oh, sorry, I just moved to Toronto. I just moved 3,000 miles away to a different country where they're putting me up in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe this works out, maybe it doesn't. Like, it is, there is a very, very, like, personal level that hits these guys.
For sure.
And I always feel bad about that because, you know, like, we have to bring it up. We have to write about it. I have to talk about it, whether it's on a podcast or on the radio. Like, these are things that are part of the real life, but... Yeah, I still feel bad about it.
That's couched in all of this.
Yeah.
Like, that's, but you can't not talk about it because,
well, that
like, it sucks for the players. Like, totally get it.
Yeah.
But we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't, like, talk about the fact that Kevin Huerter may not be on the Kings after the trade deadline, or Harrison Barnes may not be on the Kings after the trade deadline, or Davion Mitchell, whatever. Us not talking about it doesn't mean it doesn't. Like,
no,
they're still thinking about it. They're not dumb. Like, Kevin Huerter very much knows in the back of his mind that that's what's happening.
Yes, yes. And I mean, even like Harrison Barnes, like in his contract negotiation, said, "I'll take a 15% trade kicker. Thank you very much." Which that goes on the Kings. It doesn't go on the other team.
Okay.
So he has a 15% trade kicker. If he gets moved, like he gets a lot more money.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, sorry, we had to move you. Here's a bunch more money.
Yeah.
So, and it's also like when we talk about players and I talk about who they are off the court, and, you know, a lot of people just think that my view of Harrison Barnes is totally skewed. But Harrison Barnes, the human being, actually means something to everyone in that locker room. And it very much is like, it's like when you're going to school and you show up at the first day and one of your friends, you didn't talk to him during the summer, they're not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They moved to Sacramento, or they moved to, you know, where I'm from, that would be like a big move for someone to move away.
Sure. Yeah.
Or they moved to Kansas or Texas or Miami, you know, whatever. And they're just not there anymore. It's a very weird feeling because you are a family as a basketball team. You really do develop this weird culture that's different than anything else in your life. And when players are gone and new players are coming in, there is this whole entire like change thing that happens. And yeah, I think it's interesting.
Yeah. So like I said, all of that is within this discussion, but
okay, then fire it up. Let's go.
No, that's a, right. So, where did we land on the Pascal Siakam thing? You're in.
Yeah, I'm in on Pascal, and you know why? Okay, so I will say I've always been. If we were looking at the two Toronto Raptor guys, it was always for me, it was OG Anunoby because the Kings' defensive woes, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Siakam is a good defensive player, but he's not a great defensive player where I think OG Anunoby is a great defensive. He's a multi-positional defensive player. He can defend the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, or 1, 2, 3, and 4. Pascal Siakam can defend the 4 and the 5, right? Mm-hmm. And he's solid, but he's not that. But he's a way better rebounder, and I think the Kings need a rebounder. Mm-hmm. I do. And not only that, but he's a way better scorer. And I think when I went to like the Siakam way, it was because I knew that Keegan Murray needed more time to develop. Keegan Murray comes out and scores 47, drops 25, looks like all like, oh, wow, he just figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
But then Keegan Murray just had four games where he averaged 8 points a game. And if the Kings are going to be the team they want to be, you have to have him become a reliable 16 to 20 game points every single night. Mm-hmm. If he's going to be your third best scorer, it needs to be every night. It can't be the spikes.
Right.
We just saw a 28 point game. Like Keegan Murray looked amazing. That's where I start to lean back to Siakam because in the next 2 years, Siakam can be your number two scorer without any question.
Yeah.
And Keegan Murray can continue to develop and become that player that you want him to be.
Yeah.
But with the understanding that the pressure is not on him to be that player each and every night.
Yeah. You look at the Raptors roster. It feels like they could really give the Kings a problem tonight. I was just going through looking at the trade machine. So RJ Barrett's there now. Dennis Schroeder at the point. Then you've got a guy like Scotty Barnes, Gary Trent Jr.
Who's on an expiring contract.
Expiring contract.
$19 million expiring contract.
Jakob Poeltl. Like, they just, it's a lot of length. It's a lot of athleticism. They got a couple guys in there that can shoot it.
This is a tough matchup for the Kings.
Right. This feels very Pelicans-ish to me.
Yeah, this feels very Pelicans, Los Angeles Clippers.
Toronto's not as good as either of those teams.
No.
Like the quality is not the same. Don't get that twisted. But it wouldn't shock me at all if you and I are sitting there at the game tonight, and it's like, oh boy, like this is the Toronto size and athleticism giving them a little problem.
Yeah, Toronto's stomping. I agree, but I would not be surprised if this game was way different than people think it will be.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Toronto is a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't won, and they have the ingredients that really hurt the Kings,
mm-hmm.
which is length, athleticism, and physicality. And I think this is going to be a really good game, but also just like go ahead and leave Pascal Siakam here in Sacramento. That would be fine with me.
Yeah.
You guys on your West Coast road trip.
I'm really interested to see what the trade market looks like for Siakam. And whether somebody in the chatty house, I wish I had started. Sorry for, so if you said this, thanks for the content. But it's like you might have to just mix in a three-team deal if you're the Kings and you're trying to make that happen.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I just, when you plug in Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter and Davion Mitchell, I don't know how much that's going to interest them.
Yeah, I think that they're, like, again, Kevin Herter might work for them because, again, they have Gary Trent, who's on an expiring deal. Mm-hmm. Kevin Herter's contract isn't bad over the next 2 years mm-hmm. after this
And year. He's, what, 27?
No, he's 25.
25?
Oh, yeah,
Good
yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, Kevin Herter's young. So, yeah, he would fit, right? But I think if you're Toronto and the Kings call, you say, we want Keegan Murray. And the Kings say, we're not trading Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, what do you want? What is there a player out there? Let me give you, like, is there a list of five or six young players or players that would interest you if these players don't?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, okay, yeah, we would take this player, this player. The problem they have with OG is he makes $38 million. So any trade that you have with OG is going to require veterans coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one's giving up a bunch of first of top 10 picks at, like, actually even, like, top 5 picks that all make like $9 million a year, $10 million a year in order to get up to $38 million.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to take some veterans back. And that's where people are like, well, you're not giving up enough. It's like, yeah, you are giving up plenty.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Raptors could turn around and if you were to trade Harrison Barnes there, the Raptors could turn around and trade Harrison Barnes to somebody else and pick up another first round pick.
Right.
Harrison Barnes is still worth to a lot of teams in the league a, you know, I'm not talking a top 10 pick.
It's the Jrue Holiday thing that Portland did.
Yeah.
Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can probably still get a mid 20s or a low 20s pick for Harrison Barnes. If that's where the Kings, but the Kings can't trade Harrison Barnes for that because they're over the salary cap, and just trading one player like that would not help them.
Yeah,
like they're not going to be able to replace Harrison Barnes with an equal or better than player in on the free agent market because they will not have the cash.
God, what a mess!
No, it's just the advanced like roster construction.
I do wonder too in all this, and we talked about this after the OG Anunoby trade.
Yeah.
But part of me wonders if the Raptors now look at Pascal Siakam as a chance to recoup. You know, you're going to get a player or two, but can you also now recoup some picks and start stacking up your war chest for the next two or three drafts where now you're helping build around Scottie Barnes because they go get a young player in Emmanuel Quickly. They go get a young player in RJ Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. So it's Barrett, Barnes, Quickly. Are they now looking for more young NBA players and saying, yeah, hey, we'll take, you know, throw in a first, but we're not pressed about the picks? Or is this the trade where they go, yeah, let's make the salaries match. We'll take four firsts.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay, so first of all, they're not getting four firsts because Pascal Siakam is almost 30 and he's on an expiring contract. And he's going to want $40 million a year.
Two firsts.
Yeah, so but they're not getting the three
Rudy
firsts
Gobert
and two pick swaps. They're
yeah,
not
yeah.
Like if I'm trading for Siakam and I know I can re-sign him,
mm-hmm.
I'm giving up two firsts. If there's questions, then I'm giving up one first and a second. Like there's like you start to hedge your bets here and sort of put together a deal that would make sense for both teams.
Yeah.
But I would like to have a conversation with him, and I would if I'm the Kings, I've already had conversations, like inadvertent conversations with his team,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's not like OG Anunoby is a player who has an agent and that agent doesn't have other players. So it's not like if the Kings called and OG, I don't know who his agent is, but if they called and said, hey, let's talk about player X and not Pascal Siakam, but mm-hmm. then an agent could say, well, you know, this is what he would be looking for.
Yeah.
You know, like there is enough understanding around the league about what players are looking for and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a Patrick Williams thing right now where people are like, this guy's looking for
a massive
like,
deal
between 25 and 30 million bucks a year. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, okay, well, we're not trading for him now.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. 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 That's not happening.
I need to go have conversations about people throwing donuts in the microwave.
This is a major sticky
point. Dude, that's right here in my craw, dude.
Yeah.
I'm upset.
And then to use a fork?
I don't want
to
say I'm upset because I don't look, I'm a big believer in like, I don't care what, like, I hate when people are like, oh, you eat that. That's disgusting. Like, yet to you.
Yeah.
If somebody, I don't care. I just have questions about like, when did this start? What's the, I've literally just never seen this. I'm genuinely curious. Like, very genuinely curious.
All right. I was surprised because it happened quickly. It was like, grabbed a plate, grabbed a donut, threw it in the microwave. It was not, there was no hesitation.
Not like
a
thinking about it. Like, this is how they operate with the donut.
Oh, I think this would be better if I warmed it up. There was none of that. It was very like, this is what they do with a donut.
Huh.
And I was like, huh.
Is that person sitting there calling their friends right now and like, hey, you know, people here don't warm up their donuts. I've never seen anything like it. I need to get to the bottom of this.
They put it on Facebook.
I need to get to the bottom of this.
They put it on Facebook.
These damn weirdos just eating their cold donuts.
It's a donut on a plate with a fork and says nothing better than a warm donut. they put a picture on Instagram.
All right. The 49ers play a game this weekend. We're going to talk about that next. We have plenty of more Kings to get into. And the Nikola Jokic 40-foot bank shot to win the Nuggets game last night lit up a little bit of a conversation between you and I about the Jokic-Domas comparison, and we will get into that as well. But next, who's sitting out for the Niners this week? Who is playing? How much are they playing? How much should they play? We will dive into all of that next on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube at ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.